This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This should get some interesting feedback. 877-881-1053. We're inspired by the Toronto Maple Leafs, though clearly the Cowboys fit this bill as well. Which other teams across all sports are super popular and hyped up, but usually under-deliver?
Stars.
Cowboys!
What? The Stars are not super
Dallas
popular.
Dallas Cowboys and their cheerleaders.
Stars fans will...
Often
will
imitated.
Live
never
and die.
Winning. You're Dallas Cowboys.
With their stars. And guess what happens?
But they're not super popular. Like for me.
With Stars fans, they are.
No, that's
true. Trust me, I'm a Stars fan. I know.
Worth $10 billion and get the best ratings, but never accomplish goals.
So
you're Dallas Cowboys.
Toronto is the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. Is Toronto hasn't reached the second round of the playoffs since 2004. And now they're 0-9 in their last nine elimination games. And this is what they said after they just lost their last series. We've got a lot of respect in that handshake line from that team, which is nice to see. It was a much different tone and much different feeling of respect from the other side from what we've experienced previously. We certainly are earning respect in the league, but again, we're not in the respect game. We're in the winning game. So he spends the whole quote talking about how much they were respected after losing, but then said, we're not in the respect game. We're in the winning game. So the Toronto Maple Leafs are a big, gigantic, popular team that is a bunch of underachievers. The Dallas Cowboys are clearly the poster child for this. Longhorns football, I think, is really high up on the list. And then our very own Gavin Spittle suggested that perhaps Manchester United should go on this list
as
well.
I take umbrage with that. I mean, you're not wrong, but I don't like hearing it.
Okay. Hey, I get it. Whenever people are like, well, Texas A&M football doesn't matter, I'm like, yeah, that sucks, but you got a point.
And don't worry about it. We got Eric Ten Hag coming through. It's going to be fine.
Dude, yeah, that's what I told him to say.
That league is going to go under anyway, especially
the Premier League?
Yeah, when Messi shows up in the MLS next year for FC Miami. Like, that's going to be
Inter-Miami.
Inter-Miami. FC. That's what I said. It's going to be such a big deal. Like,
but
all
don't they
Premier
usually
League
just show up like
it.
After they're like, hey, I can't run with the EPL people
what
anymore.
What are you doing right now, Kevin? This is American soccer we're
you
talking
know what?
About.
You're right.
The greatest league ever.
You know who the best team in American soccer is right now?
FC Dallas.
Damn right,
yeah.
Baby.
FC Miami can't even hold a handle.
Enter Miami CF.
Yes, we want to enter Miami CF and then go show them how to play soccer.
From the 817. Hey, Kevin, Jerry here. We're going to need you to go ahead and pack up your things. Yeah, if we were run by the Cowboys, I definitely wouldn't say the Cowboys. You wouldn't have Mike going, hot boys, Dallas Cowboys, number one underachievers. So
get your hot boy thongs. That's what they should sell at Victoria's Secret inside the stadium.
Oh
hot boy
God.
Cowboy thongs.
You know, I do not think that is the weirdest point he's made today. So
was it the horse grenades?
You know, it was how long down the horse path we went, which is also a weird sentence. But the Cowboys fit this bill. You don't dispute that, right? Like Reggie, he didn't dispute Manchester United, just said it hurts his feelings. You don't dispute that the Cowboys are super popular, but they underachieve time and again. Do you?
Not at all.
Okay. Okay,
no, because I got thrown off a little bit because I saw somebody throw the Green Bay Packers out there.
Oh,
and
agreed.
I started like looking through because I guess I just give Aaron Rodgers so much credit because the numbers show up. Like his touchdowns versus interceptions, just amazing. Like
unless it's a game to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl.
And then his team for whatever, and maybe it's because of him. Maybe it is because he's the one that's like, Reggie, that you always throw out there? It's Aaron Rodgers time. Aaron Rodgers. Like that's probably what Aaron Rodgers is thinking at that moment whenever it's time, and then he loses it for his team. So I think the Packers are a really good group of that but they're always there. They're not an 8-8 team like the Cowboys, over the last whatever years. They're always in it, in that conversation.
That is an interesting point. If I Would we all concur that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are two of the top 15 quarterbacks of all time?
Sheesh. Okay, well, let's do that list. No, okay. No, they are. Yeah, I would say yes. Records and all that stuff, winning a championship, each of them. And
siphoning money from governments.
Okay, that is true. And still, have we gotten a final thing about that? Has he paid that interest back? But
like, our government needs more money.
That is actually a pretty good point. Is over the last 30 years, they've won two Super Bowls. You've had back-to-back two of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, and you've won two Super Bowls. I can see how Packers fans would be disappointed. We have won no Super Bowls in the last 26 years, so I would be thrilled with one or two. But if you're the Packers and you have both of these, I kind of get that.
I'm with you. Let's think about it this way from the Cowboys' perspective. Starting tomorrow night, the Mavericks play in the Western Conference Finals, the first time since 2011 and 2006.
And just the fifth time ever.
What would we feel like if it was obviously January and the Cowboys were about ready to play tomorrow or this weekend in the NFC Conference Finals? Like, I can't even fathom that. At this point, like, I don't even dream of that happening. Like, I'm done even dreaming that it's going to happen the rest of my life.
I'll tell you this, Mike. I'll put it in perspective. The Dallas Mavericks and Dallas Stars could both be 25-0 at that point, and it would be nothing but Cowboys, because that is how the listeners would dictate it. And I know people are going to text in and be like, not this listener, but like the vast majority of people.
It would be insanity. I was watching, just to, for example, yesterday I'm watching ESPN and they're doing the NBA Today show or whatever it's called. And the second segment was on the Lakers. And I was like, so we are entering the conference finals starting tomorrow and we're done talking about whether, you know, Phoenix just lost, the Dallas Golden State. Like, we'll get to Dallas and Golden State in a minute. We'll get to Boston versus, who are they playing again? The Miami Heat. We'll get to them in a second. Let's talk about the Lakers and LeBron James. And that's the Dallas Cowboys. Can you imagine if the Cowboys were actually good at football for a consistent basis and played in meaningful games, what the NFL Network and ESPN would do? They already cover them the most, and they don't even have to win to do it. That's what drives me insane with the Dallas Cowboys is I wish they had to, and I know it'll never happen, I wish they had to earn our respect and our time the way the Mavericks and the Rangers and the Stars have to try to earn our respect and time. And Jerry Jones, to his credit, the most genius person in the world, figured out you don't have to win as a Dallas Cowboy, because I figured out a way how to trick all the human beings in on the face of the earth on how to give us time and respect without us ever having to win.
If I'm the Stars, I'm like, we were just in the Stanley Cup final, and then everyone's like, we moved on, don't care. And I think you make a great, great point. The Texas Rangers, I mean, I know they've fallen on hard times, but even at their apex, they had to fight and scratch and claw to get, what, 1/5 of the attention?
Well, for a baseball town, you wouldn't think that that would be the case either.
Hey, look, I hate most everything that Josh Hamilton has ever said, but there are some coherent points made every now and again.
What about the Cleveland Browns? Cleveland Browns, I think, underachieve constantly because they're always the team that you're like, this is their year. They're always the
people have started to shift to that.
Like that for like 12 years, dude, where people are constantly like, this is the time. You can't be as bad as they've been before.
Right.
And they do exactly what you think Cleveland going to do. And that is going to Cleveland. And so Cleveland is that team for me where they don't claim to be great. They just, everybody's always making them the sexy pick for that season.
Okay. Let's go over to baseball, because a couple of people have brought this up. What about the Yankees? Because
the Dodgers for the longest time.
Oh my God, yes. If they wouldn't have won that World Series, you would have looked back at this run of Dodgers baseball as being one of the biggest failures of all time, which I know is weird because they were always there, but they had so much talent for a while. They had so much payroll and they could never get over the hump, but then they did. Like with the Braves, whenever people make fun of them, I'm like, well, at least they won a World Series. You know, for a while, it looked like the Dodgers were going to be like, we got nothing.
So you're saying Yankees right now?
Yeah, what about the Yankees right now?
Somewhat right now, yeah, because it was 2009 the last time they won the whole thing, and this is the longest time in the history of their franchise or something that they haven't been in a World Series. 2009 to now, you know, 2010 to 2021 is the longest time ever, I believe.
What a charmed existence that franchise has had. Yeah. Then.
And then also to Camel Joe 13, I don't think thongs are unisex because you need more to the thong for a, like, you can't put on a woman's thong and it fit your private area.
Why not?
I don't think there's enough.
Why would you ask
stuff?
That?
What do you
need
mean,
a little bit
you
of
damn
a,
well why I asked.
I'm
that
pretty
question.
Sure thongs they're made different for men than women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think you're probably right.
You're pretty
about
sure,
that,
or
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I've never had a man's thong.
Right.
So I don't know. Victoria's Secret only sells women's thongs.
I believe that is accurate.
Because I was asking, because they said you can buy cowboys thongs, and I'm like, at Victoria's Secret?
Is that? It seems like a gender thing that we need to deal with there.
I mean,
that,
you know
or
what?
We
that's
can deal with very, the idea of like
a very sexist store if they're not selling man's thongs.
When you're, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not touching that at all. But when you're dealing with like altering a phrase and you throw pretty in front of it, does that mean, are you trying to make it more or are you trying to make it less?
Depends.
But shouldn't that be kind of standard?
Yeah, pretty is pretty. It seems like it's more.
I mean, it's pretty good. Or like, it's pretty good. Yeah. Right? Like, I just, it's weird. It kind of does this. Oh.
I would love for you two to wear a man's thong. Don't video yourself.
I tried. You can't say I didn't try.
But
that is masterpiece.
That you video, you have your phone and you video y'all's wife's reaction when you walk out of the room in that man's
thong. I can
thong.
Do that. Yeah, I can absolutely do that. Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, from the 972 Gonzaga basketball.
Oh, that is
a little
great
school.
One.
Little West Coast school.
Actually, you go look at how much money is coming into that program. There's a lot of money going into it.
And beautiful Spokane on the beach.
The Cubs. The Cubs are very interesting because they won the one World Series.
The Cubs are similar to the Cowboys in that they did recently win, but they didn't have to win to
because they were already one of the most popular.
Right.
They were lovable losers.
That is an interesting dynamic because you compare, like, let's say the Yankees and the Dodgers to the Warriors. Yankees don't got to win jack. They'll still be popular and on TV all the time. Dodgers, they didn't have to win jack. Right. They the Warriors only got on TV and raised up in popularity because they were winning.
Doesn't it feel like, and I know that the Steinbrenner kids are different than George Steinbrenner. Doesn't it feel like, though, they somewhat at least try, like they signed Garrett Cole. They traded for Joey Gallo. Jerry just sells that he's trying.
Yeah.
And I get there's no cap in baseball, so there's a little bit different of you can go, you can spend more if you want to. There are penalties to it, but it just feels like from at least when you talk about the Yankees' perspective, it's like, we haven't won. What should we do? And they try to, like, we'll trade for Joey Gallo. We'll trade for Anthony Rizzo. We'll sign Garrett Cole. Like, at least they're like, it looks like from a perspective of, well, then let's change things.
Yeah, the Cowboys
instead of let's sell more thongs
is not let's sell thongs. But I think the Cowboys perspective is at some point we're going to draft a guy that's going to be the hero. And just like we did with Emmett and Troy and Michael, we'll just draft them and then they'll turn into that because they wear the star. Which is not necessarily the case.
Our audience is wild, man. From the 254 Notre Dame football, from the 214, that's coming. This is coming from
Notre Dame.
They're
the
biggest Longhorns fan, but UT football.
Oh,
and then from the 469, Victor's Secret sells man's thongs. So people are getting involved in all kinds of different facets of
Please
this
stop
conversation.
Saying thong
and
from Red Orc.
Mike, I think you need to do this. This seems like something that interests you. Spice up your marriage a little bit.
There's no Victor's
I've always
secret.
Wanted to try a thong because it just seems uncomfortable.
Holy crap, there is a
what?
Victor's Secret.
Why? Okay.
Today we learned.
Well, don't you think that something
I know, but like, why does that make you want?
But
why does that make you want to try it?
Well, maybe
because
you
so
might
many women wear it
things.
And they don't seem uncomfortable wearing it.
Okay. Well, look, we got a lot to unpack.
Have you ever worn a thong?
I have not.
Don't you want to see what it feels like?
Not really.
Curiosity.
Yeah. You ever had a wedgie?
Curiosity.
I mean, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and they're not comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're now saying, I want a wedgie.
Well, but it's less fabric, right? Like,
that's
part
true.
Of the wedgie is that there's just an undue amount of fabric in a smaller place.
Okay.
I'll ask somebody how it feels. I'm sure there's somebody I can ask.
I guess you get used to it.
Somebody.
Right?
I guess so, Mike. These sound like questions for...
Well, I want you to be part of it.
Okay. I'll.
Yeah, this is a show that we work together, man.
Okay.
It's a collaborative effort.
I'll see what I can... This is a group project.
See what I can find out. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike is convinced... Okay. That the Mavs are the Warriors' kryptonite. Is he right? 877-881-1053. That and who the hell knows what else. Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, Mike, and you've said this for some time, that you think if we could get to the spot, preferably at one point, in the second round, if it was a different matchup, but now you get it in the Western Conference Finals, that you believe that the Mavericks are the Warriors' kryptonite.
Yeah.
Let's start there and see where we go.
All right. So I think this is going to be a heck of a series, not an easy series for Dallas at all, but I do predict Dallas will win this series and go to the NBA Finals. Here's why I think the Warriors really struggle with the Dallas Mavericks. And I get it's regular season. We've had on Nico. We've had on plenty of people that have said, look, regular season, very different from the playoffs, and you can start taking away strengths or making it harder to go to your strengths or taking away certain plays. But the Mavericks' biggest weakness, I think everybody will agree with me with this, is their size, right? They lack a starting center. They lack depth at that position. Well, so does Golden State.
Yes, they do.
Kevon Looney did get 22 boards in the playoffs a few games ago, and that was very impressive. But they would rather play, when you think about their last 5 minutes or so of a basketball game, pretty much their best five guys are Draymond Green. Yes, he plays the point on offense, but he plays the center on defense somewhat. And then they go with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, and most likely most of the time Poole. Poole can sit the bench, and they can go with more of a defensive guy or a bigger guy if they need to, but those are their best five guys they want to go to. Well, for the first time in the playoffs, and this is why the Mavericks match up so well, the Mavericks are bigger than them. So when the Mavericks go to their best five, it's usually going to be Luka, Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and then you kind of pick the other two guys. It could be Bullock and Maxi Kleba. It could be Dinwiddie. It's not going to be Dwight Powell, but I'm also wondering Dwight Powell's pick and roll. All of a sudden, when you're doing this, he's actually Dwight Powell taller than their guy.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Doing this against a lot of teams in the NBA, whether it would be Jokic or whether it would be Rudy Gobert or DeAndre Ayton or JaVale McGee or Hassan Whiteside, right? All these teams took away one of the bread and butter plays that would give pretty much Dwight Powell 10 points and pretty much Luka another 6 easy points when he would see that they wanted to take away the alley-oop and he would just lay the ball in very easily. So that's number one on where I look at. The Mavericks are actually bigger for the first time in the playoffs, are bigger and will probably be, I don't know, but I think they'll be the better rebounding team in this series, which they haven't been
all
in the
playoffs
yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, I do think the Mavs, now Phoenix would present this too, but I think the Mavs, because of Dorian Finney-Smith, because of Reggie Bullock, I do think that they present issues for Steph Curry. I'm not saying that Steph Curry is going to be shut down at all. Steph Curry's still going to get his, and hopefully he has some off shooting nights. But I believe that the Mavericks, with their size, Maxi Kleba is a good defender that can switch on to different guys. I believe that the Mavericks present issues for their little guys, Jordan Poole and Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, we haven't really played him this year much. I was at the game with Derek Holland when they played, and Klay Thompson was in the game and didn't have much of an impact on that game. I'm not saying that's going to happen every game, but I think the Mavs defensively give the Golden State Warriors issues more than, and I get Desmond Bane's a good defender. I get that Dillon Brooks is somewhat a good defender and took out one of their players in the series. But we're bigger than Dillon Brooks. Yeah. We're bigger than Desmond Bane. And that wasn't the case in the Memphis series. And Memphis gave Golden State issues at time offensively. I do think in a way that you can hide Luka against the Golden State Warriors. Because I know Wiggins can score. I'm not putting it, but he can go kind of. Wiggins kind of hangs around the corner quite a bit in their offense, very much like Harrison Barnes did a long time ago before they got Kevin Durant in their offense. You can kind of they like sticking a guy in the corner and giving Luka rest. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You can kind of let Luka rest on defense against the Golden State Warriors, where at times Phoenix wasn't allowing Luka to rest at times. So I think Luka will even have more energy on offense that he doesn't have to work so hard. And then Luka is our best rebounder on the team. And because he gets to hang around with a guy in a corner and kind of stand over there, that Luka is free to roam and get a lot of rebounds. I think you'll see Luka average over 10 rebounds a game in this series.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely, and it can maybe spark some even some transition
I wouldn't be surprised
stuff.
If Luka had maybe a close to 20 rebound game in this series.
I want to really?
Holy cow.
Not saying average. I'm saying one of the games where he has 18 rebounds in a series in
a
game.
I was listening, Mike, to Draymond talk this morning on his podcast, and this is something that I'm really hopeful for. He said that the series they just had with Memphis was hard. But he was like, there are some series where you're in it and you're doing the things, you're going through it, and whenever it's done, you're like, good God, that was a hard series.
Yeah.
And I know Dallas just went through a difficult series and then they made it look easy at the very end, you know? And Monty Williams was like, you know, we didn't really know the desperation that they were going to be playing with. I don't think it was desperation as much as it was like coming of age for this group. And I feel like there's a possibility that with this Golden State team, you might be able to make them realize that they don't want to be part of it anymore. And maybe using your size is the thing, physically imposing them to quit. And I don't think Golden State is of that mind because they understand how to win. They understand what it takes to win at a championship level. But some nights, dude, you just want to look at it and go, I don't want to be here anymore because those dudes just keep doing that. And so I do think that Mike has a really valid point on this being a series where your size can make the difference and you can make quick work of things if you utilize it correctly.
And I wonder if that's one of the reasons that things have started to shift closer to the Mavs. Not like to the Mavs, but for example, opening line for game one hovered between 5.5 and 6. I saw some spots this morning where it was 4.5. So a point is a big deal when you shift and there's not an injury or anything like that. But then get this. These are the series odds that have shifted. Now, remember, if it's a minus, you have to bet that amount to win $100. If it's a plus, you bet $100 and you can win that amount. So the Mavericks went from plus 220 to plus 185. And the Warriors went from minus 260 to minus 215. So the Warriors have gone from about a 2.5-to-1 favorite to a 2-to-1 favorite. That's not nothing. Like, you have seen things shift because money has been coming in on the Mavs. That's not to say, so they're definitely going to win. But that just shows you that, like, people saw good value in the Mavericks, whereas people didn't see jack for value against the Suns, like, nationally. I know you talked about good value there.
And now, another reason that I think the Mavs are going to win this series, and as I'm clicking on like game logs for Luka Doncic, his career high, he had 17 rebounds in the bubble against the Clippers in one of the playoff games. So I do think he'll set a new career high getting 18 to 20 rebounds in a game, not average. I think he's going to be right around 10 to 12 boards every game. I think getting double-doubles in this series will be a lot easier than some other series that he's played in because of he will be a lot of times the biggest guy on the basketball court. There's no Rudy Gobert. There's no big guy like you had DeAndre. And I know DeAndre
Ayton's
not
McGee was in there. Yeah.
So I look at this and I'm watching Stephen A. Smith try to say how like it's not going to be easy for Luka. Luka so far in his playoff career. Now I'm going to exclude the Utah series. Utah was the easiest, but he's coming off of an injury there. He's had to go against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Marcus Morris and still was averaging almost 40 points a game, it felt like, in those series that he played in 13 games against Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Marcus Morris. Then he went up against Phoenix where they have Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder and Cam Johnson and, you know, at times, yes, I know that he was able to wear people out and get matchups he wanted, but then they had DeAndre Ayton trying to defend the rim at times, and then they have Chris Paul at times roaming around trying to get steals and stuff, and he's very good at that. As much as people want to trash on Chris Paul, I get Devin Booker's an average defender at best.
Yeah,
but now he goes against Golden State. I do not want to take anything away from Golden State. That is a very good team, and that's a good defensive team overall, But you're telling me now, after going against Kawhi Leonard and using him up, Paul George and using him up, Marcus Morris and using him up, Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder, and the list goes on, and using all of these guys up, that nope, it's going to be Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins that finally shut down Luka Doncic. To me, no way. Like, can you slow him down? Can you make the game more difficult? Maybe, but he's going to get his 35 and 10, and then we'll see how many assists he get. But I don't really like this Stephen A. Smith kind of going, now Golden State is the team to stop Luka.
Kerr's dead on in his, like, ideal of what they want, or what they're going to have to do. And we just have to send multiple things at him throughout each game and adapt each game to that, because I don't think there's one dude on any team that can say, I'm going to lock him up. Not yet. Like, at this point, nobody's proven it. And it's going to be a long time before he gets that, somebody gets that moment.
So Steve Kerr, there was an article up right now, 1053thefan.com, is talking about the challenges presented by Luka and the Mavericks. Yeah. And one of the things he said that the Mavericks did a really good job was slowing down their pace. And he says, now don't get bent out of shape when you hear this first part, stay with it, is Dallas reminds him of Harden and the Houston teams from a few years ago. They can shoot in every spot. They have a dominant one-on-one player, and they might not be the fastest tempo team around.
I hear what he's saying.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, James Harden.
F that guy.
Yeah, I know.
Screw him.
I know, but like, I think that
hated Steve Kerr.
I think that is a fair breakdown of the Mavs. And then, Mike, I was going to tell you, because I found this amazingly interesting. Basketball Power Index, the way ESPN breaks it down analytically, for the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami, 51% likely to win. For the Western Conference Finals, Dallas, 56% to win.
Wow. So I had no clue.
If you told me Golden State, 56%, I'd been like, great, hey. I accept. But yeah, they've got Dallas as 56% to win.
So, I think they're going to win. Maybe I'm homerish on this one, but I mean, I'm telling you, I feel like I'm the least homerish guy, even though I love the Mavs, is here's another deal, and maybe Steve Kerr has something up his sleeve. They weren't able to keep Chris Paul off of Luka. Now, maybe they weren't trying as hard. Maybe, like, we don't care. Like, Chris Paul's fine. Like, he's strong. He knows how to, you know, kind of get away with things and hold his position. Campaign had to be taken off of the court because they're like, crap. Patrick Beverley had to be taken off the court. The Clippers, like, we can't play him anymore. How are they going to keep Steph Curry and Jordan Poole off of Luka? Because it seems like when the Mavs want to get the little guy on Luka and just beat the crap out of him, and then Luka get whatever he wants, whether it's getting easy layups or then kicking to wide open guys for three, I'm wondering this. How is Steve Kerr, since what had to happen in the Clippers series is, Patrick Beverley, we're sorry, you can't play basketball anymore. And then it came down to, sorry, Campaign, you can't play. We're going to have to live with Chris Paul being out here, but Campaign, you're not going to play basketball anymore because they're figuring out how to get you on Luka, and that's just unfair. So how is Golden State going to figure out how to keep Steph Curry in the corner guarding Reggie Bullock, and how are they going to keep Jordan Poole, who's not a very good defender and very, you know, fragile? Not saying he gets hurt, but, I mean, Luka can take Jordan Poole anywhere he wants. How are they going to avoid what Luka's been able to do in his playoff matchups?
These are some great questions. Clearly, I hope you're right. I think we're all expecting like a very competitive series.
I have Mavs in six because I don't
want to. That's tomorrow, Mike. That's tomorrow.
Oh, well,
I don't know. Is that tomorrow?
Yes. I don't want
to get. Mike.
I don't want to get to game seven, but we did get to game seven in Phoenix and win. So maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe Luka, because I heard from Chris Henderson yesterday who said, right before the game started and in warmups, Devin Booker and Chris Paul were kind of like swagging around. And then I guess Luka was close to the mic where, you know, they'll announce stuff. And he goes psh, psh, into the mic to get their attention. And Luka goes, the boogeyman's here.
Oh, my God.
Just to let them know.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I'm not afraid of this moment.
Knew the boogeyman
so
was.
Here we go. And so maybe game seven, maybe it won't matter that they're in Golden State for game seven because – we have the man who's not afraid of this moment.
It won't matter.
I love that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas in their fancy clothes today from the G-Bag Nation. We'll do that next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for a chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I really wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this. Are you familiar with the UFC fighter Carla Esparza?
No.
Okay.
He sounds like a beast.
Yes, Carla? Yes, I do. She's boring as heck, and I'm really upset that she is now the new bantamweight champion.
That fight sucked.
Carla from Cheers?
Not Carla from Cheers.
No, she's the strawweight champ, not bantamweight.
So she wore her UFC belt that she had just won down the aisle at her wedding. Because her wedding was a week after her fight, which I thought was really cocky. And I kind of wanted her to get her face busted up to, like, show that you shouldn't have that hubris. But then instead, they both decided not to punch each other at all, and it was super boring. She walked down the aisle in her belt. Would that intimidate you, or would you be standing there being like, you're damn right?
I think if you're the guy that's going to marry a UFC champion, you're way into it. You know, either her fitness or her badassery or whatever it is. But, yeah, I would imagine that that wouldn't be the straw that broke the intimidation back at that point, Heggy. What you signed up for.
Yeah. Do you think that you should have something extra on your suit? I know it's not a
Masters jacket.
Yeah. Okay.
Or like the whatever softball tournament, or like your daughter's, you're a coach, right? You guys just won the title. You should be holding up the trophy.
Wear that nice medal.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Codpiece.
You know, maybe something that would come along with your personality. You know, if Speedo. You're a Texas guy, maybe a big belt buckle, some boots.
Oh,
like
Dawson,
that.
Did you get a championship belt for kicking Sean's ass in the grill?
I should have. That'd be a good one.
Oh, the wing off. Still salty about that?
Of course. Hell yes.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if he'd be salty because his stuff didn't have flavor.
You don't live something like that.
No, I wasn't sure.
Just how you liked it.
That's right.
You're the only one that voted for Sean.
You'd really be Nick and Sam's.
That's right. Yeah. Best wings in the world.
Sean's still taking shots and calling him a one-trick pony
when it comes to the barbecue
game. To this day, I heard it a few weeks ago.
Deontay Wilder style.
It hurt him bad, you know.
All right.
Deontay Wilder, he's our guy. You hear your guy over there? You hear Chiafalo making fun of Wilder?
Tearing it up.
Well, no, he said to this day, I was actually paying homage to Deontay.
He's the entire Wilder family.
Part
of the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah.
That is our guy, right? New York Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Someday he might win a fight that matters.
Wow. All right, that's it. I'm going home.
Never get to that. So I'm just going to drop shots all day long. Because I'm getting ready. I'm hoping Netflix will invite me. Have you seen they're doing the GROAT, the greatest roast of all time with Tom Brady?
I'd seen something about that, yeah.
I feel like this is something I want to watch, but also something I would want to get involved in. And I think they'd be like,
Who are the roasters? Do you have the list of who the roasters are?
Gronk is one
pro
of
comedians.
Them.
Edelman.
I bet Peyton Manning will be there.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
He's done one before, right? He did somebody. I can't remember.
Hey, you should do your own Brady roast on the same day that Netflix special drops and just show how much better yours is.
You know what I realized? Because Corey said something earlier about Chris Paul and we kind of feel like he got his comeuppance and you just kind of like let it go. I think I'm that same way with like Lance Armstrong and Urban Meyer. It's like everyone realized what scumbags they were. And I was like, you know what? Now I can just let it go.
This isn't that fun anymore.
Yeah. So I've kind of moved on with my hate there. But for Tom Brady, we could have some fun with it.
Isn't Eli the Brady roast champion? He's always trolling him on Twitter.
Ooh, he needs. Yeah, he needs to be. I've not seen a list, Corey. I do not see a list of who's going to be involved in the roasting with all of this.
Snoop, Pete Davidson.
Oh yeah.
Is that amazing? Who Tom Brady beat in the Super Bowl and his losses are to Eli Manning and Nick Foles.
Yes.
Ooh, we got to get that big Nick energy.
That's crazy. Like, he beat Patrick Mahomes when Matt Ryan was the MVP. He came back from 28-3, but his losses in the Super Bowl are, you wouldn't argue, like, those are the two worst quarterbacks he faced in the Super Bowl, and yet those are the ones he lost to.
Yeah, that is wild. That is wild.
Still the greatest, without a doubt.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Who's the greatest?
I don't know. It's tough to say, Mike. I'd probably go with Troy Aikman, though.
Oh!
Yeah,
that's hard to push back on.
Because Mike can't argue against that. He's like, you know what? You make a really, really good point right there. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier. Where do you think the Mavericks would be right now if not for that Athletic article? Do you think like some of these things were already in motion and they just sped up the process? Because the article came out on a Monday. Donnie was out on a Wednesday and like things were moving fast. What do y'all think about that?
I mean, that's a great question. I would not imagine, you know, because things have been so storybook this year, I don't think they'd be here. You know, I don't know if you get good enough communication to get Porzingis traded. I think so many things have happened. Like we asked Rick last night, you know, how did they make such a good defense out of basically the same players? And, you know, the addition of Bullock was nice. Getting rid of Porzingis was nice. But who knows how, you know, different everybody is communicating. I had lost faith a lot in this front office's ability to identify American talent. So would they have even seen Bullock as a player that they wanted? You know, would they have recognized the need to get rid of Porzingis? I don't know. As much as I like Rick Carlisle, I wouldn't undo anything that's transpired.
Kind of feel like, though, that the wheels were already in motion.
Okay.
You know, and I think that those guys at the Athletic were they were on it. You know, it's much like, you know, Jane Slater, the whole report her and Bobby Belt had, you know, about the Cowboys stuff with Mike Nolan.
Yeah.
You know, the good reporters know. You know, they've got, you know, somebody obviously is like tipping them off that, hey, man, we're rolling down the path right now with all this like transpiring. So, yeah, I think that those guys did a great job with the story. But I also believe that it wasn't something that made Mark Cuban do. I do know for a fact Jerry Jones was going to fire Mike Nolan before the Slater report came out. And the fact that it came out, he then said, well, wait a minute, I can't let the media dictate that I'm firing coaches now. And then that's why Mike Nolan stayed on for another year for the end of the year.
Was there ever times, I'm sure there was, but how did you react when you were in the NFL when like these reports came out and y'all must have been like, well, how the F do they know that?
Oh, no, that's something they live with right now. Matter of fact, there's a lot of folks that listen to our shows every day and they comment. Matter of fact, after the draft, the other day at the rookie minicamp, I had two guys walk up to me and say, you know, you guys were talking about this or you were talking about that. And so, yeah, they understand what we're doing over here every day. And, you know, I'm like, well, we're just being honest with what you guys are doing. And they're like, no, it's what it is. So, I mean, it's not of this like, you guys don't know what the F you're talking about. There's a lot of back and forth where they're, you know, like, yeah, you guys are onto something here.
Yeah, so they're impressed but maybe wish you didn't know so much sometimes.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Like when we got into our back and forth with Jerry, and he's like, "I don't think that's credible," and we're like, "We think it is credible," and you're like, "F," and he was
no,
like, F
and
that.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about it. You get to point. I'll tell you a quick story if I can. That time in the draft, Ed Werder was standing up there doing a live.
Boys guy.
He was doing stand up shot. And he was kind of telling us what's going to happen in day two of the draft of the Cowboys, and we're all standing around watching the TV in the war room. Jerry goes, how the hell does he know all that? And Steven goes, Dad, you told him. You know? And like, you know, and so we all kind of looked at each other and Jerry goes, oh, yeah, that's right.
Got alcohol.
You know? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You're like, you know, sometimes
Johnny Walker Blue.
Sometimes these reporters are onto something because they actually know exactly what's happening.
Thank God this did happen, though. You know, watching Jason Kidd, I think, you know, to take a team to the top that hasn't been there, you got to be really, really hands-on. And he has a way of doing that without making the players feel offended. You know, and I think that's really important. Like, can I be all over you and basically be joystick coaching you? And you'd be like, oh, thanks, coach, not leave me alone, coach. That's right. It's a huge trait that Jason Kidd has going for him right now.
What do you find nicely dressed fellas got coming up on the program today?
Well, it was a photo shoot Tuesday. We'll tell you who dominated that photo shoot downstairs on the first
floor. There was somebody
that
dominated for sure.
You're welcome.
Really
welcome.
Asserted his alpha energy.
Oh,
but
pure
gold
of
is always.
Man,
thanks for asking. Cole Calhoun, 320, little Rangers player show action. A lot of Mavs talk.
Whether it's because of the photo shoot or the Big Mac eating, do you feel like the balance of power on the show has shifted dramatically quickly?
Maybe just smooth that a little bit, you know, is in five different quadrants now instead of three.
All right.
I like Big Macs, but I ask him to take the middle bun out.
I heard that the other day. Yeah.
Does that
make it like a hamburger?
And it's too much bread.
Yeah. What kind of sandwich is that, right?
Yeah, like the patties are big, so I'm like, I don't need the extra bun.
That was the most difficult part about getting it down quickly was how much bread, like the dryness of the bread. It was like, oh my gosh, this is actually extremely difficult. And that's a good way to get the freshest burger. You know how fast that Big Mac came out when I ordered it because I didn't change it in any way? It was like, this thing's been ready for like 15 minutes. The hack is at McDonald's, just tweak one little item on the burger.
Right.
No pickles, no onions, add this, whatever. And then you get the single freshest burger known to man.
I also saw a TikToker request the quarter pounders
those beef patties instead of the regular ones. Oh. And that looked like a good size Big Mac, one that you can really go ahead and enjoy.
A lot of meat, right?
Yeah.
Roll home.
Pause. Could have said a lot more.
With these dapper G-Bag Nation gentlemen, we have been the KNC Masterpiece. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here.
Mike.
On 105 Through the Fan.
Come back and tell Kevin to say goodnight. You can't just run out like that, Mike. Mike!
Say goodnight, Kevin, and we're going to try on.
No!
Night, Kevin.